It's time for Sports Central with Corey Geiger, brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM. Tune in over the next hour as Corey talks about the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. Call in now, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Now, Sports Central with Corey Geiger, brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
All right, everybody, welcome here to Sports Central today. I'm Nathan Ferlina. This is August 8th, 2024. Hopefully you guys are all enjoying the day. It's a little bit cloudy, a little gloomy out. So obviously not the best vibes around, and clearly those are carrying over to France right now, as there's a shocking score right now at halftime for the United States men's basketball team. 54-43, they're down against Team Serbia. They played Team Serbia, I believe, in the first game of the Olympics, and they handled them just well. Obviously, Serbia has Jokic, which is the big star on their team, and they are playing very, very well against Team USA right now. Curry does have 20 points, so he's pulling his strings. But besides that, there's not much going on that Team USA basketball team. So hopefully they can figure it out and advance to the gold medal game, I believe, against France.
Nah, man, this is a disaster.
Yes, it is, 100%.
This is a disaster. You can't friggin' lose this game.
You can't.
Do you know how many Americans can name more than one player on Team Serbia? They can name Nikola Jokic, and they should be able to get Bogdan Bogdanovic as well. He's an NBA player. I don't know any of the rest of these dudes.
I'm looking through the roster right now. There's not much. Mikic, I believe is how you pronounce his name, number 22. I do recognize him.
You might recognize him because he got a cup of coffee somewhere here or there. But this is absurd, man. They were down 16 points in this game, Nathan, in the first half. They were down 41-25. It's 11 now. Now it's 8. Somebody just hit a 3. So, I mean, they cannot lose this game.
They cannot lose the game. I still don't think they are going to lose this game. I have a feeling Steve Kerr basically told the boys halftime, like, hey, listen,
get your ass together, is what he told him.
You got to come play.
You won't come back to the United States if you lose this game, is what he should have told him.
There's going to be a lot of ridicule if they go back to the United States after losing this game. So we'll see what goes on. We'll keep you updated, live updates and everything like that on the score. But
the reason I'm so passionate about this is, I mean, I grew up in an era where we sent our college kids to beat the hell out of everybody. And then it started in 88, and they couldn't get the job done, and the rest of the world caught up. The rest of the world caught up with the United States in basketball, and that's understandable. It's a global game. So then we send the dream team over there, and they win by an average of 40 points, and you kind of think, okay. But we've had ups and downs with international basketball, not sending our best players. You know, not there have been times where we're the very best players in the NBA haven't gone, and we ended up sending more guys like Tyrese Halliburton, for God's sake. Why is he on this team? Why is Derek White on this team? These are role guys in the NBA. I mean, these are nice players. These aren't the top 5 or 10 players. They're on this team, okay? But this team also has the rest of the best players in the NBA with LeBron and Curry and Durant and Jason Tatum and all these guys. If we can't win gold medal with this team, then basketball will have slipped out of our reach in this country. It really will have slipped away from us, because we're not playing a Serbian team that has just one superstar after another. They got one awesome dude, one of the best players of all time, and then they've got Bogdan Bogdanovic and a bunch of, as we would say with LeBron and the Cleveland Cavaliers, a bunch of plumbers.
Exactly, yeah. I would argue Tyrese should be on that team. I like Tyrese Halliburton a lot, but there's no reason like a guy like Derek White should be on the team. Obviously, I think them win the finals, put him in that position where they were like, hey, listen, just come to Team USA. We need an extra body.
Cause need Kawhi a role guy. Yeah. He's a defensive guy. They got
He's not a bad guy. He's not a bad player
specialists.
At
all. You have to have specialists. I get all that. You can't just have a whole bunch of Steph Currys who don't play a whole lot of defense.
Yeah, definitely. So we'll keep you updated. 10-point game right now. Serbia leads 57-47. Give us a call at 946-0435 if you want to talk a little bit of the United States basketball. And then you can also talk my question of the day. I'm going to introduce this thing called Question of the Day. Every time I host, I'm going to ask a question of the day. Today's question is, what is your favorite sports moment of all time? So I'll start with you, Corey, because I got a little list of stuff that I've been following sports probably close to 15 years now, really, paying attention to them since I was like 6 or 7. So there's a list of stuff I remember vaguely in my mind. You know, they're not all my favorite teams, but they're definitely moments that I can tell you where I was and what was going on because they were that iconic.
And are we going, because there's two good ways to go about this, are we going of a game that you watched, like a professional or college game, or were we going an experience that you had?
You can give me either.
Because
I have professional games that
and then personal moments.
I don't have personal. I could tell you personal moments right here, but I have, you know, the NBAs, the NFLs, the games I was watching on TV and stuff like that.
Let me tell you, so I've mentioned this for months because you've been on for about 3 months now, right?
Closing in on it, yeah.
And I've mentioned this a dozen times that I enjoy the back and forth with a 19-year-old person because you don't have a wife or kids yet. I promise you, everything on your list will take a gigantic backseat to whatever your kid does.
I would imagine, yeah.
And that's where, you know, that's where a different lot, you know, places
in
life.
My dad
kind of
would
thing.
Say that 100% about sports. He'd say, listen, nothing compares to your dive and catch in center field that you made, you know.
That's the one they said you dropped,
that's
right?
That's the one they said I dropped, and they know I did not drop that because it was called
I thought you said your family said that you dropped it.
They believe I never even dove for it. That's
okay,
what they believe.
I gotcha,
and
I
even
gotcha.
Though I did dive for it, and...
I love that story. I want to hear, for those who don't know, so tell that story. How old were you again?
I was I think 12. I think it was my last year of Little League, and, you know, it's the final game of the year. We sucked every single year. Cumming Motors, independent, we were just absolutely horrendous. And we're down, I think, maybe 4-0 in the first inning, and bases are loaded. There's two outs. This kid rips one center field. I'm in center field. I make a diving catch right there to save probably 2 to 3 runs right there because that ball is getting to the warning track easily if I don't make that catch. If I just cut it off, maybe it's 2 runs, but I'm aggressive. I go in there. I slide. I catch the ball. Apparently, that never happened in my family's eyes. Apparently, it never happened. I will die on that hill. That did happen.
That's
remember
great.
It vague. I remember it as clear as day. So we're going to go to phone lines right now. Who we got on?
All right. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Bob.
What's up, Bob?
Hey, Corey, I was watching a little Pirate game today. I'm going to say right off the bat, I'm not a Pirate fan, but something in that game it led me to believe that I might not watch Major League Baseball too much anymore. I don't know if you heard, Cruz hit a gap shot, jogged to first, turned on the Jets, going into second, gets thrown out at second. But what really ticked me off is that Bob Walk says that the majority of major league players are like Cruz. They would have cruised into first base like he did, and it's the minority of players that hustle into second. And then the second thing that really ticked me off, when Cruz gets back into the dugout, one of the Pirate coaches gives him a fist bump.
Yeah.
Which was really
instead of
ridiculous.
Berating him like crazy and taking him out of the game, right?
Sure, sure.
Hey, you know what the final score was?
Padres won by 2.
By one run.
1 run.
7-6.
Well, 1 run, right.
7-6.
Pirates got one in the bottom of the ninth.
What if Cruz is not out there?
That's a tie game.
Yeah. But, and actually, in actuality, I will point this out, in fairness to the Cruz, separate story from the Cruz. Pirates are up 5-4 in the ninth inning, and David Bednar blew it. The Padres scored 3 runs in the ninth to take the. So the Pirates blew it. They're done. They're
right.
Two games out.
It almost seems like maybe Chapman should be taking over the closer position.
All right. So appreciate the call, bud. We're going to spend a couple minutes on this actually because I'm glad you brought this up, Nathan. What do you think of what he said there about the majority of major leaguers probably would sit there and admire it? And not maybe run as hard as they can.
That's just how major league players play nowadays compared to when you were going up.
Because he's right. He is right. Bob Walk's right.
100%. I mean, there is no reason he should not be hustling the second. I mean, especially if it's in the gap. I mean, come on. I mean, I understand maybe if it's it gets past the second baseman and the right fielder's right there, you're kind of, you know, maybe not going 100% to first base because, you know, stuff can happen. You can pull something, tear something if you're full sprint. So I'd understand that, but if you see it's a gap shot and you know you got two on it, I mean, why are you not full hustling? Because there's a chance someone, I don't know who's out in right field today. It might have been Tatis. He plays it in right field. I'm assuming that's who it was out there. I mean, he's got an arm. He's got a cannon. He can definitely, David Peralta was who's out there in right field. Then center was Jackson Merrill. They both are solid on defensive end. So either of them can get that ball into second pretty quick. And you saw what happened. He got out. And I mean, Cruz is one of the fastest guys on the diamond, especially probably the fastest guy on the Pirates, I'd imagine. So the fact that he's not hustling to second shows you that, you know, there needs to be a little bit of discipline and a little bit of teaching right there. They need to go up to him and say, hey, I mean, they should not be giving him fist bumps after. They should be, hey, what the?
You what get are you in doing? The guy's face. But see, this is, you can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, and especially baseball. Baseball is a very touch and go. That's why it's called a manager. The baseball, the lead guy on a baseball team is not called the head coach. Do you know why?
Why is that?
Because a baseball, he is just managing things. He's managing personalities. He's managing situations. He's not necessarily a coach that's coming down hard on you.
Yeah.
A baseball manager.
Yeah, hitting coaches.
Correct.
Those are the people that really.
Correct.
Are,
you have to be. You have to oversee everything over the course of 6 months and egos and all this stuff and the grind. You don't come in and have a bunch of tirades like Billy Martin would have in the 60s or 70s. You don't really do that anymore because it's about managing the egos and managing. So, but in theory, if that happened on my little league team, we're yelling at that guy when he comes in the dugout, and he's probably coming out of the game. And my son doesn't always hustle as much as he could. Sometimes he doesn't quite react as quickly as I think he should, but it's not so much a hustling. But he gets yelled at. You know, everybody, we're not afraid to yell at people as they come up in sports. But when they get to the highest levels and they don't hustle anymore, they make so much money that if Derek Shelton decided to just rip O'Neill Cruz, first of all, the public would probably love it, but management may hate it. You know why? Because maybe O'Neill Cruz doesn't want to re-sign with the Pirates now.
Yeah.
You see what I'm getting
exactly,
at?
Exactly, exactly.
It's all business decisions like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's what happened. I mean, that's why you see players set out bowl games in college and stuff like that. It's kind of the same type of deal where they just not – I mean, you can make the argument their hustle isn't there. They don't really maybe love the game as much. Like a guy who maybe respects baseball and loves baseball internally, he might be hustling second base even on a, you know, he might be hustling to first base on a ground or something like that. And you see these guys jog it off and stuff like that. It's just the change of times. It is a business.
It is.
So.
And this is, it's interesting. Your question of the day is what?
What is your favorite sports moment of all time?
Okay, so you've been with me long enough. I've probably mentioned this two or three times. My favorite sports moment was when I was 10 years old and I hit a ball and my dad was coaching third base and I ran as hard as I possibly friggin' could.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know where the ball was. I just ran as hard as I could. You know why? Because that's what you did.
Yeah.
You ran as hard as you could. And it wasn't until I rounded second base that I knew the ball was over the fence. And I knew because my dad had a giant smile on his face. So my favorite sports moment of all time is playing the game the right way and seeing my dad smile, and then a couple innings later, I hit another one over the fence, and I did know that one was out. I still ran hard, but to that caller's point, that's the way we were all taught.
Mm-hmm.
You hit it, you just run. Don't look at the ball, just run. And I coach a lot of kids now. You know what they all do? They all look at the ball.
Pimp it. Pimp that home run.
Not even, no, I'm talking about even grounders on the infield.
Even the grounders.
They all look at the ball. You try to teach it, but people, and then you get to the big leagues. So that caller's right, and Bob said, I'm not sure I'm going to watch any more Major League Baseball. And for a lot of reasons, that's why I don't. Because I am not looking to see strikeout home run, 220 batting average, getting $30 million a year, and guys like O'Neill Cruz, who just simply that I read a comment on Twitter a couple hours ago that his baseball IQ is like dumb as a rock. And you know what? There's probably a lot to that.
Yeah, and for the Pirates themselves, this is just a terrible, terrible loss. Four out of the five losses, I mean, their last games have all been by a single run.
Yep.
Two or three of those swing the other way, you're back up top the wild card position. Now you're just slowly falling behind. I mean, there's still time, but it's slowly slipping away, especially when you got the Dodgers. I mean, you got the Dodgers up next. That's going to be a tough series. Then you go to San Diego, Mariners. I mean, that's a pretty rough schedule. The Rangers, there's a lot on the plate for them in the next few weeks that if they're not playing 500 ball, at least they're going to start slowly, slowly going out of the picture. And this was a year in which I thought if they got in, they'd have a shot at making a little bit of a run just because of the pitching rotation.
For you as a young person, your expectation when you watch a Major League? Is your expectation just that they're going to half-ass it?
That's not my expectation, no. I expect to see good ball out there.
You do expect to see it?
Yeah.
Even though you've grown up during an era where they just half-ass it all the time, where they cheat and they're banging on trash cans during the World Series and that kind of stuff.
The only time I think someone should half-ass it is whenever the ball is 490 feet over the wall and they can...
And they think that they did. And here's what's interesting about... I see these kind of comments all the time because O'Neill Cruz... During the StatCast era,
exit velocity.
Exit velocity, like, I don't have all the numbers in front of me, but like, 10 of the top 30 hardest hit balls ever were from O'Neill Cruz.
Yeah,
and like most of them were singles, and so we like fall all in love with our with this crap and these kind of metrics. Oh, he really crushed that ball. Yeah, he hit a hard line drive to right field. Good for you. That's a single. Okay? Mm-hmm. But that's what we glorify now. Now, look, don't get me wrong. Hitting a ball hard is extremely important. The reason exit velocity is important is because the harder you hit it, the higher the chance that you're going to get a base hit. But we have fallen in love with things like O'Neill Cruz. We're going to crush the ball. Well, you're not hitting it 480 feet. You're crushing the ball and you're hitting singles. And now you're getting thrown out at second in a one-run game that was your team's fourth consecutive loss. That's, to me, that all of that encapsulates baseball right now where we are.
Yeah, baseball, it's totally different than it was 30 years ago. It's pretty unrecognizable. I mean, you put a guy from the 80s or 90s in today's game, they'd be baffled probably what they see. So. Pirates.
They are. It's interesting you said that because I've done some podcasts over the past couple of years. Mike LaValier, former Pirates catcher, Jack Wilson, Freddie Sanchez. Freddie Sanchez told me last year, Freddie Sanchez won a batting title. He told me he might not be able to play in Major League Baseball today because what he did as a singles hitter, just kind of hitting the ball through the gaps, that's not what they're looking for. So here you're talking about, I think he won the batting title in like 07 maybe, 08, give or take. That's 17 years. You mean tell? And he's not wrong necessarily, but I certainly think he's right to a large degree that a player like that isn't as useful in Major League Baseball anymore.
Yeah, a guy like that's Luis Urias with the Padres, where he almost hit 400 last year, and you look at him, and most people don't think of him as an above average player because he's just a singles machine. Mm-hmm. And while that, you know, in the 80s or 90s, that might have been like, oh, you know,
Ichiro.
Ichiro
Tony
Suzuki.
Tony Gwynn, best hitter of all time.
Yeah, I mean, these guys are talked about as one of the best players of all time, and Luis Urias is a very, very good hitter. Maybe
but
not.
Now O'Neill Cruz hit 121 miles an hour. He's awesome. Yeah, it was a line out to right field. He's out.
Yes, it's a three. I mean, you're either striking out, you're walking, or a home run. That's what they look for nowadays. And, you know, the singles are going away. The extra base hits are slowly going away as well. It's pretty crazy, but yeah, the Pirates, they need to figure something out here. They got a tough stretch, so we'll see what happens, but...
Give your question of the day. We're going to take a break. I do want to mention Team USA is now down 11 again. They cut it to now they're down 14. They're going to lose this game.
Yeah, going in the fourth. It's tough.
They're going to lose this game. They had cut it to 67-61, and now Serbia has gone on an 8-0 run. It's now 75-61. They're going to lose this game, and I hope to hell that every national sports broadcast tomorrow rips the holy bleep out of all of these guys.
Hopefully they do. Hopefully they do. Give us a call at 946-0435 for the question of the day. What is your favorite sports moment of all time? It can be personally. It can be professionally. Let us know on the other side.
Life's great moments aren't complete without a great cigar for you and your friends. Visit J.M. Boswell's before golf, fishing, a fishing trip to the beach will make your visit easy and fast. Don't show up to that summer party or golf outing without a cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's, 6481 William Penn Highway, Alexandria, PA. Open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 5. On Saturday from 9 to 4. And always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell Pipe.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over 24 local employers and organizations. And with 2 branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
Got Medicaid or are you uninsured? Do you need a doctor? We love to care at Gloria Gates Care, and we're now accepting new members. At Gloria Gates Care, we've got all your needs in one place, and we welcome you to come join us while we help you to receive the quality care you deserve. At Gloria Gates Care, we're redefining healthcare. For office hours and more information, call 814-300-7777. Gloria Gates Care, 2525 9th Avenue, Suite B, Altoona. Online at GloriaGatesCare.com.
Whether it's popcorn for a movie or chips for a family picnic, great times and great snacks go hand in hand. Davison Snacks Outlet is your go-to place for snacks. Whether you want crispy, savory, or sweet, everything from small bags to bulk packages and gift baskets too. Davison Snacks has Martin's Chips and Snacks, jerky from Bronco Billy's and Rougarou, All-Star Cotton Candy, Little Debbie Snack Cakes, Boyer Candy, Dots Pretzels, Wise Snacks, and more. Life is better with snacks from Davison Snacks Outlet, 16843 Dunnings Highway, Duncan.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the three-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
Remember when you used to cruise the boulevard back in the day? Maybe you stopped at JMP Automart to check out their inventory. Well, you know you still can. JMP Automart is still rocking Central PA with the best deals. Check them out online at jmpautomart.com, where you can apply for financing and see their inventory of over 200 units. Or cruise in like you used to 1906 Pleasant Valley Boulevard and see them in person. Got a trade? JMP will give you $1,000 push, pull, or tow. Apply for financing online. JMP Automart, in business for 64 years, so they must be doing something right.
Hank FM.
All right, welcome back to Sports Central. Hopefully everybody's enjoying the day. United States is down 13 to Serbia now. Going to head into the fourth quarter. It's pretty much all but over, but you never know. There's a last-ditch effort, maybe. A guy like Curry can come out and train.
Curry's got 27. He's 8 of 12 from 3. The only reason United States is in this game is Steph Curry.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, call in today to the show, 946-0435, for our question of the day. What is your favorite sports moment of all time? I'm going to give you a few real quick that popped into my mind immediately. My obvious number one is Penn State beating Ohio State in 2016. That is probably the biggest high as a fan of Penn State football that I've experienced in my lifetime. Again, I've probably been actively watching them for about a little over a decade now, so that's definitely the best moment by far. So I'll put them back on the map, so I'll have to go that one. I think another one that goes underrated a lot is Chris Jenkins winning the national championship for Villanova. The shot
that
in 2016. Because I actually had Villanova win my bracket. And
oh, did you win money?
I won some money.
How much you win? You can say.
I don't know, like $120.
That's good. I
for a 12-year-old, that's pretty nice.
That's damn good.
In
for 2016,
yeah.
I've bragged about this many times over the years. You know how much money I've won on NCAA tournament pools?
How much?
Like $8,000.
There you go.
Because I had Syracuse winning in 2003,
yeah.
And so I won $4,000 on that.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were a 3 seed. But I've had a couple other tournaments where I've won like $500-$700. Texas Tech getting in the championship game a couple years ago made me $750 or so.
There you
so
go.
If you, I always say, if you latch on to a good number 3 seed and that number 3 seed wins it for you, you got a chance to win some money.
Yeah, if you can get one of those seeds that like 3 through 6, because sometimes they break through. There was I think 2 years ago, I don't think there was a single 1 seed that actually
is that
made
right
it.
Okay,
because I think San Diego State was like an 11 seed or something that went into it.
Do you know what I remember? First of all, you're talking about one of the greatest sports endings of all time with that Chris Jenkins shot.
Yeah, because you had the UNC guy.
Yes,
I forget, like I think his name is Page or something like that.
He
hit that this like crazy like jumper.
Yep.
He switched in air.
Yep,
hit it with like 5.7 seconds or something left on the clock, and then Jenkins comes down.
They throw the hook and ladder kind of deal is what they did. And, you know, my favorite moment of that, because I can still envision it, Jay Wright, he's just standing there with his arms crossed. Mm-hmm. He doesn't celebrate. He doesn't do anything. He looks at the ball. It goes in, and it's like, you would have think they lost.
Yeah.
I mean, he might have said bang, but I'm not sure. But he's just like looking at it just so calmly, and they win the national championship.
Everybody goes shakes Roy Williams'
hand. So that was pretty amazing.
It was great. It was great. All right, we got the Clarkster on the line. Clarkster, what do you got for us?
You think you're throwing the game?
I don't, because they know the hell they're going to get coming back into this country.
9-point game right now. 9-point game.
76-67.
Couple of things. Number one, the week before the U.S. played Russia, okay, in Lake Placid, they played an exhibition game or a pregame, and Russia beat them, I believe, 12-2. So I'm going to make the comparative. What did we beat Serbia?
I want to say by 13 or 15. I think Kevin Durant had a huge...
No, I think they beat him by 26 points.
Was it really that bad? Yeah, I think you are right. Yeah, let me take a look at that. Durant had a big game. Was it over 20?
It was the difference was the amount of points Jokic scored.
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't know. I mean, this is why they roll the ball out there and, you know, play the games. I mean, I'm not surprised necessarily that they would lose, because I think the world is literally caught up, and in some cases, technically, Europeans are better players.
That in and of itself is the truth right there. The style that we play, we care about this every 4 years. The style of basketball played in the NBA makes these guys $50 and $60 million. Jason Tatum, hang on a second. Jason Tatum makes $60 million. He has no points. He has no points because the style they play in international basketball has given the United States fits for a while, because the bigger lanes, different angles. But this kind of team, you would think with LeBron, Embiid, Curry, Tatum, Durant, Anthony Davis, Anthony Edwards has 2 points. He's the future of the NBA. He's got two points.
Well, obviously the defense isn't caught up with the with it. If they're down by whatever they're down, giving up points. Just because when you think of a player, you think of his offensive capabilities. You know, you don't think collectively how do they play defense. You know, it's the nature of the beat. You don't talk about the guy's defensive capabilities. You talk about his offensive capabilities.
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like you said, talk about the offensive abilities a lot of the time. Clark, what's your favorite sportsman of all time? What is that?
When I tried out for Penn State Ogons during my college days, which was the regional campus for Penn State, I couldn't miss. the only reason I was in a zone. The only reason I became like the 12th man on the team is because I was just hitting everything. This lasted for about a week, and when reality came back, I was sitting at the end of the bench. You know,
were you hitting three? Wait, this was a long, long time ago. So there were no threes.
They would have been threes. You know. I mean, I was used as the example of shooting from the corner and, you know, at the top of the circle and everything. I mean, it was one of those moments, you know, but it lasted for a week. And shockingly, I was just a walk-on.
You made the team?
Made the team, yes.
Hey,
there you go.
So, anyway, that's my collective moment. I had other ones, you know, but... that's one I can think of right off the top of my head.
Thanks, bro.
Let's see if they can come back.
It's a 5-point game now. 5-point game.
78-73, 7 minutes to go. Thanks, man. I want to share. We got Byron in Hollidaysburg here in a second. I'll get to you, Byron, 1 second. Ohio State, Penn State 2016 was unbelievable. That's the craziest play I've ever seen in person. Mm-hmm. And what that win meant for Penn State football, bringing them back, was incredible. One that I will mention about the, you know, whenever I have this kind of discussion with people, is not something that people would generally think of. But I was there for the 2011 Nebraska game after the scandal.
Okay.
And after everything had happened. And I will always remember how unbelievably emotional it was when both teams came together on the field before the game And Ron Brown, I believe, was the guy's name. He was an assistant coach for Nebraska. He was a pastor. He led a prayer. And, I mean, this was a week after. I mean, from what I can remember, this was a week after the arrest and things like that. It was like maybe November 12th, 2011, give or take. So it's hard unless you were dealing with all that stuff. And I know you were a young kid. You maybe know some about it or
yeah,
know
I've watched
stories,
stuff. I've watched stuff about it. I was able to kind of learn about it. I was too young at the time.
Right.
I remember Paterno leaving and stuff like that. I remember all the fallout for that.
I was up there every day interviewing people. I was doing a lot of interviews on CNN and SportsCenter at the time, talking about this stuff. This was unbelievable. I don't have to rehash all that stuff, but I just remember when they finally got to play football a week later, I was crying. I think most people I saw in the press box were in tears because this was so unbelievably moving and emotional that it really is the epitome of sports bringing everybody together no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can make the case that Penn State loved football too much and that's how they got in. Whatever argument you want to fall on. But football did come back. And now we don't really talk about the scandal anymore. I would say it took about 4 or 5 years, you know.
It's probably that win that got him over the...
That sure, because if they don't beat Ohio State then, and James Franklin very well could have been fired that year.
Yeah.
You know, Sandy Barber told me point blank he wasn't getting fired, but he very well could have. So that's why the Ohio State thing is unbelievable. I'll always remember that Nebraska day just because it was so emotional, and they were showing people on the video board, and I went back and watched on TV. The number of people crying in the stadium, you're talking about 105,000 people, there had to be 50, 60, 70,000 people crying in tears from this. It was very, very emotional. Penn State lost the game. Who cares? Doesn't really even matter. They got down big. But when I think of my career and the most memorable things I've ever seen, yeah, Saquon and the Rose Bowl and all that stuff, but that day against Nebraska really kind of stands out from a personal standpoint.
That's awesome. You don't hear that too often. A game like that, you know, doesn't have the biggest – I mean, it had so much – into it right there with that, all that scandal stuff. But, you know, if you're just talking about the game itself, it maybe wasn't the most impressive thing on the field, but it's everything surrounding it that, you know, it's a good story and makes for one of the best moments. So.
Yeah, I will keep, I mean, USA had it to 82-77, then Serbia scores. So now it's 7-point game with 5 minutes to go. So there's still a lot of game left. But it seems like every time they get right there, Serbia comes back. I need to check the box score, see what Jokic is doing. Jokic has 15 points, 10 assists. You would think, and Bogdan Bogdanovic has 17 points. So now it's a 5-point game again with 5 minutes to go. You think they win this?
I'll tell you what, it's going to come down the wire. I think I'm going to have faith in the USA, man. I think they can pull away.
I think they're going to win this.
4-point game. 4-point game now, 84-80. So
if this were the Nuggets, I would pick the Nuggets to win because I've seen the Nuggets enough that Jokic would do something to win this game.
Yes.
Because he just is unbelievable for what his skill set is. But this is different. So somebody's going to step
Jokic
up.
Jokic will probably throw a random bucket in there with 0.2 seconds left. I guarantee it. Something over his head with this terrible shooting motion.
He definitely would if this were the Nuggets playing. We got Byron in Hollidaysburg up. What's up, buddy?
Hey, Corey. It's been a long time since I've called.
Everything going well, dude?
Yeah. Things are going pretty good. A couple things. First of all, I kind of saw things repeat itself for me personally with two different teams. I can remember going to the St. Francis game when they had to beat Fordham to get into the NCAA tournament, and that field house was jammed, the excitement. Well, then I got to see it again 2 years ago at Florida Atlantic University when they won their division and got into the NCAA tournament and the excitement. But the main reason I'm calling you, I want your opinion on something. And what it is on baseball. I watch almost every Pirate game. And what I don't understand, one of the rules I think is absolutely absurd, is what they call a save for a relief pitcher. A guy can come in with a 3-run lead, and even though he gives up 1 run or 2 runs, he gets a save.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, when it's time to make a contract, I say, oh, my God, look how many saves he has. Now, it's no different than last night's game when I'm watching it. It's a tie game where the Pirates are up by one, mm-hmm. and in comes Bednar. And I said to my wife, watch this. It's going to be extra innings. Boom, home run. What in the world do the Pirates see about a guy that pretty much gives up runs every other time he pitches?
It's not just Bednar. Holderman had suffered four consecutive losses. Colin Holderman,
right.
Before last night,
blew all the saves.
Blew all the yeah.
It was terrible.
And it was awful. And so now you've got Bednar. So look, hey, here's the thing. Let's do a little bit of Pirates history. Remember guys like. I want to say Mitch Williams. It wasn't Mitch. It was like I think Travis Williams. It was. The Pirates have had a long stretch from guys like Jason Grilley, a long stretch of closers who weren't really stars. They were just pretty good in that closer role. And a number of them would have made the all-star teams, you know, give or take here or there. The Pirates have never been able to spend a lot of money on that closer type of guy. Now, they gave Chapman $10 million. He's making decent money. Or historically decent money, maybe not so much now. But the thing about it is the Pirates, they have to rely on guys like David Bednar and Colin Holderman because they're not going to be able to go out and get a high-priced closer.
Well, the point being, though, when I look at the Pirates, and even that rule, give the guy a save after a three-run lead.
Yeah, but that's been around a long. That's been around a long time.
Okay. You can, that's what I'm saying.
You can be up. You can be up by, I want to say four. I think it's five runs and get a save.
It's three. Three, I think, is where.
No,
it's
because
at.
You give it. They get if the bases.
Oh,
no,
runners on base.
If the bases are loaded, okay. If the bases are loaded, and I believe you get the guy in the hole as well. So. If there's runners on base, you can get a save. It might be four, but you can get a save in that scenario if you're up at least up by four and the bases are loaded. How about that?
Okay. Well, now let's make another switch. What did they do with Sawinski? Have they finally got rid of him?
He's down in AAA. He got sent to AAA. I think a week or two. I think a week or two ago.
I couldn't understand. I missed that. Because how can a team, and you look at every team, their Pirates aren't the only ones. How many guys are batting under 200?
Yeah, I don't have.
I mean, there's too many. Corey, it boils down. There's too many players in the major leagues because of the amount of teams that should be in Double A or Triple A baseball.
But you're like me. You're old school. You think batting average matters, and to a lot of these teams, batting average just doesn't really matter that much.
It doesn't matter.
Yep.
It's a crime, and then you get a guy. How many times, and you weren't around, that Elroy Face could pitch five, six extra innings in relief?
Yep. All right, thanks, Byron. Good stuff, buddy.
All right. Right now, Serbia is up by two. United States is tied at 84, but Serbia pulls away up by two right now, so we'll see what happens. We'll keep you in
three
tune with
minutes.
That.
Three minutes to go.
All right, we got Bob on the line. Bob, what's up?
Yeah, this is the other Bob. I was just calling about my favorite moment in sports. I went over to the Curve game. And I don't know, it was about 4 or 5 years ago, and they were playing for the championship. They were down two games, or maybe one. No, they were down two. And it was Friday night, and they were playing the Indian franchise, which I think it was Erie. And they were behind 4 or 5 runs. And in the ninth inning, they got a couple of runs, and they loaded the bases, and Cole Tucker hit a grand slam to win the game. And
I was there. I was amazing. A kid from Hollidaysburg who caught the ball. I went out and talked to the kid. He came back, and Cole Tucker signed the ball for him after the game. I remember writing a story on that. That was absolutely incredible. Because Cole Tucker was a really, really good dude. Turned out to be not a great baseball player, but that was pretty remarkable, Bob.
I know that. It was just you would have never saw that coming, you know. And then he wasn't really someone who was going to hit home runs consistently, but didn't he hit that home run? And it was unreal.
That's great. That's a great memory, buddy. Thanks for sharing that, man.
Okay, Nathan.
Nathan's got the good news here, finally.
All right, so United States is up 91-86 on Serbia. They're starting to pull away a little bit. 141 left in the game. We'll see if they can hold on to it.
Steph Curry has 9 threes.
Steph Curry.
That dude is a national treasure. I want to take a break. I don't know what you got. Nathan's in charge of the show, but I got a topic for you that we're going to come up with. How about that?
All right, let's do this. Let's do this on the other side.
Christopher Bell's crew chief Adam Stevens, Cup Series champion and winner of 37 Cup Series races, will not be at Richmond this weekend atop the box after a double knee injury and resulting surgery during a family vacation during the Olympic break. He said, quote, "I hate that I won't be at the track for weeks, but I will be fully engaged remotely. I am very thankful for the depth and strength of this 20 team. The surgery went well, and I will be back at the track in a few weeks." Chris Sherwood will take his place for now on site. Daniel Suarez did some racing in Brazil over the weekend. He was fastest in the opening practice at Autódromo de Interlagos. In the opening race, he climbed from fourth to the lead on the final lap of that event and initially was scored the winner, but officials said Suarez was overly aggressive to force his way from fourth to the lead. And he was hit with a 5-second penalty, which dropped him to a 6th-place finish overall in that opening prelim event. He did take the victory, though, in prelim number 2. TBA, that was listed as the sponsorship for Chase Elliott's number 9 car for this weekend's Cup Series race at Richmond. However, Hendrick Motorsports has announced that Coca-Cola is going to serve as the primary sponsor for Elliott in this weekend's race. The race at Richmond was originally scheduled to be the 3rd of the primary sponsorship for Hooters, but if you remember, Hendrick Motorsports terminated their contract with the restaurant chain in July after saying they were unable to meet the business obligations to the race team. Hey, you! You're on the final lap.
My doctor told me my blood pressure is borderline. I figured I could worry about it or do something about it. So I took control with Garlic Healthy Blood Pressure Formula. It works safely and naturally to help maintain healthy blood pressure with a custom blend of garlic, vitamins, and minerals. And it's odor-free. I'm taking charge with Garlic Healthy Blood Pressure Formula.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The term natural references only the garlic in the product. Use as directed.
Home ownership. At Progressive, we know it's part of the American dream. It's majestic golden eagles and other less majestic birds taunting you through the baseball-sized hole in your new windows. It's soaring guitar solos performed through faulty wiring in your garage, which subsequently erupts into flames. It's also around-the-clock protection when you bundle your home and auto with Progressive, which can help keep the American dream of homeownership alive and kicking. Get a quote at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states.
At Shoefly, they think on their feet so you can walk in comfort and style. When you step into Shoefly, you'll be greeted by a friendly and knowledgeable staff who will assist you in finding the perfect shoe for any occasion. Shoefly believes that every foot problem has a fitting solution, and they will work with you to make sure you don't have to sacrifice style for comfort. For more information or to schedule a professional fitting with one of Shoefly's fit specialists, visit their website, ShoeFlyStores.com. Your feet will thank you.
Life's great moments aren't complete without a great cigar for you and your friends. Visit J.M. Boswell's before golf, fishing, a fishing trip to the beach will make your visit easy and fast. Don't show up to that summer party or golf outing without a cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's, 6481 William Penn Highway, Alexandria, PA. Open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 5. On Saturday from 9 to 4. And always open online at BoswellPipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
All right, welcome back to Sports Central. This is Nathan Ferlina, August 8th, 2024. Hopefully you guys are enjoying the show so far. Call in, answer our question of the day. What is your favorite sports moment of all time? 946-0435. Before we get into this next portion of the show, USA has a 4-point lead, and if it was intense for you guys, well, it could have been less intense if you guys were using yourself a J.M. Boswell cigar or pipe. 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at BoswellPipes.com is where you'll find the best pipes and cigars. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell's pipe. So like I mentioned, The United States is up 93-89 here with 26 seconds left.
93-91 now with 24 seconds to go.
It's going to come down then. They need to hit a few big free throws right here.
Steph Curry. Okay, so this is the question. We're going to go to the phone line here in just a second. But what I was going to ask you, I believe, and I've said this for a number of years, I believe the most important, impactful basketball player of the post-Michael Jordan generation is Steph Curry.
100%. He changed the game of basketball.
He changed the game of basketball as much or more than any single player ever. Other guys were Dr. J was doing what Michael Jordan was doing. Okay, Jordan just did it better, and he was a better scorer. But when you go out and play basketball with your friends, how many of you shoot, like, just mostly threes?
Almost all of us. We're not driving that lane.
Yeah, nobody's like driving the lane.
No finger rolls like Gervin. It's all threes like Curry, so.
My kid can't shoot for crap, but every time he shoots, Curry!
Exactly.
He says Curry!
No one even says Kobe anymore.
No, yeah, right. So, wild. I mean, Kobe, I'm not saying that Curry's the greatest basketball player, but Curry's got 9 threes, 35 points in a game that's going to get them to the gold medal game. LeBron's got a triple-double, by the way, but we're in agreement there that Curry...
Oh, 100%. That's not... I really think there isn't an argument for anybody else, just because Curry changed the entire game.
Yeah, LeBron's better than Curry, but LeBron didn't change basketball.
Exactly.
Steph Curry, and this... Look, the era, too, changed the way basketball is played. Now, can't necessarily say it's for the better, because all these threes, they're going to win. They're up 4 points with 8 seconds to go now. But all these threes, the game, it comes down to just a boatload of threes for both teams anymore.
Yeah, it's absolutely. It changes the game. We got Ian on the line. What we got, Ian? What we got?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing good. How about you?
Good, good. So I'll keep it quick. I have one kind of – I couldn't choose between – of all time. So I've won for like each sport. I'll keep it quick. Baseball, it's got to be the 2013 Game 3 home opener, NLDS, Pirates Cardinals.
That's a good choice.
I went over there, and that was phenomenal. Obviously, it was after the Cueto game, but the energy, I went to Penn State. I went to a bunch of Penn State wideouts, and that energy, even during the day, was the closest any sports venue could ever match. To that.
It just went to show. How old are you?
I am 23, going on 24.
So 11 years ago, you were just a teenager then, right?
Right.
So, but that ended 20 consecutive years of losing. That 2013 season was massive because they had lost for 20 consecutive years. I was there that night for the Cueto game and for the Cardinals game, and the electricity in Pittsburgh, they wanted it so badly. Mm-hmm. The Pirates had been absolute garbage for so long, but the fans, you knew they still wanted it.
Yeah, and I wasn't even old enough to appreciate that struggle, and just getting to experience that was just fantastic. But anyway, so for football, there's a few – well, first of all, I'll go basketball. It was Penn State had a Saturday game against Minnesota. I was a freshman at Penn State. It was right before COVID, and it was the first time where I had to go to the game 4 hours early as a student, and there was a line wrapping around the BJC over to the Beaver Stadium. It was Bryce Dorn was sold out. It was a whiteout. They ended up winning the game. And then after that, that's when they cracked the top 10. It was just unreal for Penn State basketball.
Awesome.
Never experienced.
That's great.
And it was great. And then for football, it comes down to three for me. First one was 2018 Penn State Pitt. I grew up with Pitt fans. I never grew up with the rivalry and that was my first time experiencing it in person. And that's when they just destroyed them 51-6. We went down to the sideline, and it was just great seeing all the Pitt fans really upset. That was just a personal thing for me. Then the 2019 Michigan Mo Bamba timeout first play. I was in the blue band for that in the student section my freshman year, and that's the loudest I've ever heard Beaver Stadium. I mean, the only thing that's rivals to it, which I think is my favorite, is the 2016 Ohio State game where we were sitting. Grant Haley was running toward us when he returned that touchdown, and I've never been to a game before where you're just jumping all up and down. You're hugging everyone around you. You're high-fiving everyone. And been blessed to see a bunch of great sports moments. So thank you for taking the call.
Awesome. That's great stuff, Ian. A lot of good memories, man.
Love it. That was good.
You love those things.
Oh, my God. I remember all those. That Mo Bamba play, too.
Yeah.
That is Were you there for that?
I was there.
Oh, my God. I couldn't imagine. That's
crazy.
It
was loud. Grant Haley just retired this week, too.
Did he retire?
He did. Two days ago. Yeah.
Great career at Penn State. And it wasn't much in the NFL, but great career. We got our call. Who we got today?
We got Andy. Hey, look, Andy, real quick, Marcus Allen, Grant Haley, it doesn't matter what they ever do. I mean,
they're Penn State legends forever.
I've had this debate with people. It's the single greatest play in Penn State football history. No, it wasn't Giftopoulos with the interception to secure the national title against Mike. It wasn't that, but in terms of a single play, I think it's the biggest play in Penn State history.
100% agree. 100%.
Go ahead, Andy. Go ahead. You have to repeat that, man. Andy, go ahead. Andy, you with us?
Yeah, I'm having trouble hearing you, though.
Okay, go ahead. What you got?
Does what you do for a living, does it ever feel like work? Because a lot of people think that it would be a fun job to have, but don't realize how much work you have to put into it every day.
You know what? As a writer, this can be a very difficult job because you're trying to come up with you're trying to tell the story. I would say this. On the Penn State beat, there are 70 people competing, all telling the same stories, all writing the same kind of stuff. If you're going to try to not have a niche, but if you're going to try to make a mark for yourself, you've got to do something that writing, describing things in a way that you are very good at that maybe somebody else is not. I'm not the best writer on the Penn State beat. I do think that I'm the best radio host on the Penn State beat, and I do think I'm probably as good of an opinion columnist as there is on the Penn State beat, because a lot of people on the Penn State beat are scared to death to really give opinions because
because they don't want to upset.
They don't want to upset anybody.
And the university will threaten to deny them access, even though technically they're not allowed to do it.
Yeah, but a lot, especially, look, I could go on and on. The vast majority who cover Penn State nowadays do so for websites. Websites that need Penn State, that are solely devoted to Penn State, who cannot piss off Penn State because if they lose any access, they lose their job and their website. Do you follow? There is a gigantic conflict of interest in sports media nowadays because so many of these people, I worked for a newspaper. Whether people at Penn State loved me or hated me, I was still going to have a newspaper job. Okay, and so I had the freedom. Neil Riddell gave me that freedom. Dave Jones had that freedom at Penn Live. If you piss off everybody at Penn State, you still have a job. If you work for one of these Penn State websites and you piss people off, you're going to get fired because they are so in bed and connected with Penn State, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, and I personally miss Blue White Illustrated, and I miss Phil Gross. He did a wonderful job covering Penn State.
Thanks, Andy. Appreciate it. Now, you're a fan. Everything I just said to you may come across as, you haven't necessarily experienced that, Nathan, but do you want honesty from a Penn State reporter, or do you just want to be told how awesome everybody is?
I want honesty. That's with anything. I want transparency. I want how it is. I don't want any, BS.
But this recruit they got today is the greatest recruit in the history of the world, and the recruit they're going to get tomorrow is the greatest recruit in the history of the world, and Drew Aller is going to be the greatest quarterback in the history of the world, and Bo Prabula is the greatest backup quarterback in the history of the world. If you don't fall in line with a lot of that stuff, it's hard to be a member of the Penn State beat any longer.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I'd love that to happen, because I'll tell you what, they've been winning national championships. Before we go to a break, I want to tell you a few more moments I just had on my list. A UFC one, Conor McGregor versus Khabib.
Ooh.
UFC 229, that's the biggest fight in UFC history. I think it sold the most pay-per-views, and then the whole aftermath of Khabib going out and throwing punches in the stands, obviously not a good look for the UFC, but that was awesome. That was electric. Super Bowl 52, Eagles versus the Patriots. Not an Eagles or a Patriots fan, but Nick Foles coming in there. The Philly special I thought was just an incredible play. Speaking of basketball, Stephen Curry's bang against OKC from almost half court. That was a great moment. I remember watching that. It was awesome. Malcolm Butler's interception in Super Bowl 49. Probably the biggest Super Bowl play, in my opinion, all the time. I'd put it over San Antonio Holmes' toe tap, but
It was the worst coaching call.
It was 100% the worst coach.
They should have scored there, and they win. That takes one away. 100%. Anything else?
And then the kick six, Auburn and Alabama. That was a great play as well.
I'm 50 years old. Only one of my teams has ever won a championship in any major sport. That was Syracuse in 2003. So I remember bawling like a baby when Hakeem Warwick blocked the shot. And that was just an unbelievable game. So that's my favorite sports memory in terms of national stuff. But when my kid was 7 years old, he came up on Father's Day with the bases loaded, and we were down 4-1. I'm pitching to him. He hits a double to left, scores all three runs. Then he scores, and we win the game 5-4. This was Father's Day. And then we drove to Pittsburgh to see a 20th anniversary reunion or special showing of Field of Dreams on the big screen in the movie theater. So that's the greatest sports day of my whole life.
There you go.
So
that sounds like a good lineup. Sounds like a good lineup.
That's my favorite memory from a personal standpoint.
Perfect, perfect. All right, we'll see you on the other
side.
Life's
great moments aren't complete without a great cigar for you and your friends. Visit J.M. Boswell's before golf, fishing, a fishing trip to the beach will make your visit easy and fast. Don't show up to that summer party or golf outing without a cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's, 6481 William Penn Highway, Alexandria, P.A. Open Tuesday through Friday, 9-5. On Saturday from 9-4. And always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
My doctor told me my blood pressure is borderline. I figured I could worry about it or do something about it. So I took control with Garlic Healthy Blood Pressure Formula. It works safely and naturally to help maintain healthy blood pressure with a custom blend of garlic, vitamins, and minerals. And it's odor-free. I'm taking charge with Garlic Healthy Blood Pressure Formula.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The term natural references only the garlic in the product. Use as directed.
I want to learn how to cook, but I keep ordering takeout.
Accomplishing goals is hard, but when your goal is to learn a new language, Babbel makes it easy. In just 15 minutes a day, Babbel will help you start having conversations in as little as 3 weeks. Words and phrases you'll actually use. So when someone asks,
how's your French going?
You can say,
Babbel facilite grandement l'apprentissage d'une nouvelle langue.
Now try Babbel for free at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
It's a grand slam.
Everyone loves a grand slam, and now you can score one with Kepner's Grandview Meats. Stop in at Kepner's Grandview Meats from now until the end of the curve season and register for the Grandview Grand Slam Contest. If your name is called out during WRTA mornings and a grand slam is hit, you win a $100 gift certificate from Kepner's Grandview Meats, the home of quality meats, hot and cold subs, and more. Stop in and register. No purchase necessary. Kepner's Grandview Meats, 1544 Pleasant Valley Boulevard, Altoona.
Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast.
Get to Mattis Motorsports now for CF Moto ATVs and side-by-sides. Mattis Motorsports is also your headquarters for trailers, both open and closed. Campers, brands like Astoria, Gulfstream, Puma, and more. Bad Boy Zero Turn mowers in Lear and ARE truck cabs. Give Mattis Motorsports a call at 814-940-6288. Or check them out in person at 1702 East Pleasant Valley Boulevard in the Greenwood section of Altoona. And remember,
if it doesn't say Mattis, you paid too much.
All right, welcome back to Sports Central, August 8th, 2024. Our country avoided some of the most humiliating defeats that we can maybe ever experience if Serbia beat us in basketball today. But a 95-91 win for the United States team today. It was close, but they end up squeaking by. Heard a lot of you guys' favorite sports moments of all time. It was really awesome to hear those. My favorite one that I heard in was definitely the Mo Bamba one. I forgot about that play. That was pretty sick. That was pretty sick. Before we go off the air, Corey, I just want to know, is IU going to be a Steeler? Let me know right now.
He is, yes.
Okay.
The Steelers have to make that move because it's a disaster if they don't.
I know, and they can get him probably for a good deal right now considering San Francisco basically wants to get him out of the building. Really appreciate you guys tuning in as always. Glad to be hosting the show for a day, and take care.
Sports Central is an exclusive presentation of 96.1 Hank FM.
WKMC, 1370 AM, 96.1 FM. Roaring Spring, Altoona. A service of Leitner Communications.